Good evening, everyone. A Freilich and Erev Chanukah. It is so wonderful to see everybody. Just one more quick, you can hear me, correct, Dr. Singer? We're good to go. Okay. Okay, tonight's Erev Chanukah shir is sponsored, is dedicated by our beloved Hilda Bachrach and her entire family, many of whom I see on this Zoom. We haven't seen many of you in a while, so it's so nice to reconnect with all of you. And it is commemorating the fourth yahrzeit of Dr. David Bachrach, Harav David Aryeh ben Avraham Yehuda, whose yahrzeit is on the 20th of Kislev. And many of us remember very well Dr. Bachrach in our community. He came to live in our community for a number of years. Remember him in shul, remember his devotion to tefillah b'tzibur, remember his connection to learning, and always passionate about connecting with Torah, about sharing Torah. And that legacy is so evident and so manifest in his children, in his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, everybody in the family who's so connected to Torah, down to the fact that my son's own dorm counselor in Madrich this year in Yeshiva is also one of the grandchildren. I also believe, and I asked Rabbi Amiel just to confirm this, because I remember this from the Levaya, that Dr. Bachrach was a musmach of Rav Huttner. I believe that is the case. I believe that is correct. We just commemorated this week Rav Huttner's 40th yahrzeit. And so there's an enormous amount of Torah and reflection that is going around about Rav Huttner. And so it's particularly poignant. And actually, even without considering that connection, we included a source from Rav Huttner in our Makoros packet tonight. So we want to acknowledge that connection of Mesora. And again, just such a deep and caring and thoughtful and sensitive soul, a spiritual soul. And we miss him very much. And it's very special that the Bachrach family commemorates the yahrzeit with the shir, with the community shir, which is what they are so much about. So it's a real honor and a privilege, and I'm humbled even by having the opportunity to be able to give the shir. If we turn to the Makaros packet, and I'm just going to post it one more time in the chat for everyone who's with us. If we turn to the Makaros packet, we're going to explore a dimension of Chanukah. Some of these ideas we've reflected on in the past, but with a very new and a very different approach in terms of where we're headed. So let's begin. So the Gemara tells us, we know that the halachos and the story of Chanukah do not find themselves expressed in Torah Shebaal Peh in its own Masechta, but rather they are embedded within Maseches Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik used to have a beautiful idea that he would say, that he would share, that there is a connection between Chanukah and Shabbos. Shabbos represents the illumination within the home, with the neros of Shabbos, and Chanukah represents the illumination of projecting out to the world. And the Rav would point out that there's never a Chanukah without a Shabbos, and there's never a Maseches Shabbos without a Chanukah. That the Jew always needs to balance these two goals, to concentrate and illuminate our spirituality within our home, and to, of course, project that light beyond the scope of our reality. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos, the Gemara is in the midst of a discussion that is somewhat technical, related to whether or not you can light the menorah miner l'ner. Soon we're already going to start. We started polishing the menorahs today. Soon we'll start setting them up, just like they did with the Beis HaMikdash, with the aluminum foil, for everybody who's worried. Then we'll put the menorahs on. Then I'm sure the Kohen Gadols used to fight over which color to use for the candles. Red, white, blue. Blue, white, blue, white. What's it going to be? Now you can have a Democrat menorah, a Republican menorah. Who knows what people are going to do? People get very excited about their menorahs. And then, of course, the clay menorahs from the childhood. So the Gemara is discussing, when you're lighting the Chanukah menorah, can you be madlik miner l'ner? Can you light from candle to candle? We have a shamus that we use to ignite all the candles. And in the course of this discussion, the Gemara poses a question. And the question has to do with the nature of the mitzvah to light the Neros Chanukah altogether. The Gemara says, two lines from the bottom of source number one, the Gemara asks, Iboilahu, we had a question. We raised an issue in the context of the Gemara. Hadalaka ose mitzvah, or hanacha ose mitzvah? So the Gemara wants to know, what's the nature of this obligation? Is it hadalaka ose mitzvah, which means the ignition, the proactive contact with the flame to the candle, that is what fulfills the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah? Or no, it's not about the moment of ignition. It's not about the moment of kindling. It is rather hanacha osa mitzvah. It's a facilitatory obligation. One has to ensure that there are candles standing and illuminating properly in their proper space in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah. And the difference between these two is obviously, let's say I have my menorah, I live on Brook Avenue, it projects out to the Rishus HaRabim, you could see all sorts of people on Brook Avenue, and let's say I don't want to have the lighting right in front of the window. There's not enough space, my couch is there, and I don't want people to move around. So what we'll do is we'll gather the family together in the kitchen or somewhere else where you don't really fulfill the mitzvah of Neros the same way. We'll light there, and then we'll move it over to where it needs to be. So that's the question. So Gemara's, that's one of the Gemara's questions. Gemara's question is, does it need to be lit at that moment that you light it? That's when you bring the world of Neros Chanukah to life? Or is it more a ensuring, facilitating that it actually takes place in the way it needs to? Hanacha osa mitzvah. Its placement satisfies the requirements of the mitzvah. And in that open debate, Rashi makes a connection. Rashi says, what do you mean, hadlaka osa mitzvah? What is the precedent for asserting this side of the analysis? Says Rashi, iha mitzvah shel Chanukah, tiluya behadlaka madlikin kide ashkichon bimino. Says Rashi, the Gemara wants to know if the igniting of the flame is really what needs to be done, just like we find with respect to lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So it sounds from Rashi that the source of the contours in the manner in which we fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah today, in 2020, that is predicated upon the nature of the experience in the Mikdash Hashem. And in fact, the Taz writes in source number 3 that this has halachic implications, and he contrasts it with Neros Shabbos. He says, so you see that because the candles of Chanukah have their origin in the Beis HaMikdash, they would light the menorah, and it was a mitzvah of hadlakah. So says the Taz, in Chanukah also, with the Chanukah candles, you have to light that menorah. It's the mitzvah of hadlakah. In contrast to, suggests the Taz, the Neros of Shabbos, where the goal is not to ignite the Neros, it's to bring a presence of illumination in the home, as we know, maybe for the purpose of shalom bayis, or to generally elevate the spiritual atmosphere of the home. Anyway, that's its own discussion. We won't get into that now, halachically. What's the nature of the mitzvah of Shabbos candles? And that does have repercussions, implications, particularly with using electrical candles for Shabbos. But let's return to Chanukah. Because the Rambam, and this is a Rambam that we've seen in other contexts, the Rambam describes an element of the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash that challenges this assertion that the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is somehow the paradigm for how we light Chanukah candles today. Because the Rambam tells us the following. The Rambam says in source number 4, we know that there are certain things we do in the Beis HaMikdash that require a kohen. You need a kohen. There are other things that went on in the Beis HaMikdash that don't necessarily need a kohen. Have a regular Jew like me. So the Rambam writes, "V'chein adlokas haneros ksherim bizarim." The Rambam writes that lighting the menorah can be done by anybody. You could let even Yaakov Glaser, who's not a kohen at all, can light the menorah. Lefichach, says the Rambam, but what's the problem? I can't get to the menorah. Because even according to the most flexible interpretations of where I can go on Harabayas, where I can't go on Harabayas. Everyone agrees you cannot walk into the section where the menorah is situated. So how do you light the menorah? We've discussed this in other contexts. The Kohen, says the Rambam, Heitiv HaKohen es HaNeros, he prepares the menorah. What does he do? So you remember, it used to be a big deal to prepare the menorah. Now, all we do is we shtuch in the glass containers and we break them off. We then, you know, heal our hands from the broken glass. But it used to be, we had to fill them up. We had to put in the little floaty wicks. The wick would flip over. You'd have to get it out with a toothpick. This one's screaming because the toothpick's going to catch on fire. He's made to the Neros. He prepares the menorah. And then what does he do, says the Rambam? The Hotzion Lechutz. He takes that menorah outside of the Beis HaMikdash. He takes the menorah outside of the Beis HaMikdash. What happens outside of the Beis HaMikdash? There is standing Yaakov Glasser. And he's like, this is great. Yaakov lights the menorah, even though he's not a Kohen. He feels amazing about himself. And then they bring the menorah back into the Beis HaMikdash and they stick it down. That sounds, says the Minchas Chinuch, a lot like Hanocha Osa Mitzvah. That sounds a lot like our scenario where the family went to light in the kitchen and then moved the menorah up to the window. It sounds like in the Beis HaMikdash itself, according to the Rambam, we don't say Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. Because if we did, says the Minchas Chinuch, and he has other considerations as well, if we did, then we would not permit you to take a lit menorah and bring it back to the chatzar. We would tell you, you have to light the menorah in the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that we allow you to light the menorah outside the Beis HaMikdash and bring it back in, it sounds like that in the Beis HaMikdash itself, we had a more passive disposition towards the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros. As long as that menorah was lit and radiated its illumination all throughout the Beis HaMikdash, as long as you facilitated that to happen, you fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. And it's striking because in source number 6, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that in Hilchas Chanukah, and it's even the title of the simin, simin Tof Resh Ayin Hey, Shehadlaka Oseh Mitzvah, the Lo Hanacha. It's the title. The title is, you should know that in Hilchas Chanukah, you have to light the menorah right by the window. You have to light the menorah by the window. You have to light the menorah in the place where it is intended to be lit, where it's a mitzvah to light it. Hadlaka osa mitzvah, as Shulchan Aruch says, it's the opening words. Hadlaka osa mitzvah below hanach. I mean, it doesn't get more explicit than that. Shulchan Aruch doesn't concoct some case that tells us to differentiate between the two approaches. Shulchan Aruch says, I know, there's a discussion in the Gemara. I'm telling you, the resolution of this discussion is hadlaka osa mitzvah. And the question is, what is going on here? According to the Rambam, it sounds like there's a huge disparity. According to the Rambam, in the original, the source of this entire holiday, the actual moment where they would light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, the approach was to just ensure that it's lit. And we didn't make a whole yontif out of the lighting itself. Yet, when we celebrate the mitzvah of Chanukah, and we codify the way in which that mitzvah is expressed through halacha, it is a done deal that we paskin hadlaka osa mitzvah. So what does that mean that in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have to light the menorah? So Rab Chaim, who has an amazing commentary on the Rambam, Rab Chaim would explain that the mitzvah, actually says this explicitly in source number 6, that the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was not, look at the second line, Ein HaMitzvah Be'etzem Maisa HaHadlaka. The mitzvah is not in the Beis HaMikdash to ignite the fire. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is, Kim De'ikar Mitzvah Sahu Sheyihyu HaNeiros Dolkim Tomid. You just have to make sure that those Neiros are always lit. But the actual act of lighting, that ignition, that initiative, that bringing the fire to life, that is not the core mitzvah of the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, the Reb Chaim goes on to say, based on the lashon of the Rambam, it almost sounds like what is sacred for the Kohanim is the actual preparation of the environment. The facilitation for this to happen, the hatava, needs to be done by the Kohanim. But the lighting, that could be done by anybody. And so this is the question. Why in the world, according to the Rambam, would we have such a disparity? Why would we not pattern the holiday of Hanukkah after the actual mitzvah to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? Why in lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is it enough to just make sure those candles are lit? And yet when it comes to the Hanukkah of the home, we have such an infusion of this priority that it must be done with the full intentionality and initiative of kindling the lights ourselves. What is it about Hanukkah that introduced that dimension to this experience, that even though this whole holiday is about recreating this moment of lighting the menorah in our homes, nevertheless, there's such a fundamental departure between the framework of how it actually is accomplished? So that's our question. So in order to appreciate this question, in order to appreciate the answer to this question, we need to take a step back. We need to take a step back to understand the historical context of the experience of the miracle of Hanukkah. We need to understand, we focus extensively on the miracle of the oil, right? Because that's what our chag's about. That's why we light the menorah for 8 days. That's why we eat the donuts. My son was just telling me about a special chumrah in the yeshivas of Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. So if you're just basic, you eat one donut each night of Hanukkah. If you're Mahadrin, so everybody in the room eats one donut each night. If you're Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, first night is one, second night is two, third night is three, fourth night is, and ninth night is Hatzolah. Right? So, all right. Well, gives us something else to worry about. By the way, they have antibodies, so it's not a problem. They don't get sick. So what happens? So here we have the mitzvah of Hanukkah, and it's a mitzvah where you focus on the oil and the latkes and all these other things. That's what we focus on. But the real miracle of Hanukkah, as we know, was this military victory, this uprising that occurred in order to combat the influences of Greek society and Greek culture's interest in ultimately assimilating the identity of the Jewish people. And we have a text, even though we have no Megillah for Hanukkah, which is its own discussion, which we will return to, we do have a text that is a little debatable about exactly what the origin of this text is, but it's called Megillas Antiochus. We don't read it in shul. It's not part of the halachas of Hanukkah. It basically tells this story. And it's a discussion. The Bahag says it might have been written by the Talmidim of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rav Sadia Gaon thinks maybe it was written by the Chashmonaim themselves. Nevertheless, even though this text exists, it's not embedded into the mitzvah of Hanukkah in any way. However, if you look at source number 7, it tells us the following. In the course of trying to assimilate the Jewish people, the Yevanim picked on certain mitzvahs. There were certain mitzvahs that they went after. What were one of those mitzvos? So says the Megillas Antiochus in source number 7. Hava in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Hava na'ale aleihem u'nivatel mehem esabris asher karsa lohem. We're going to somehow try to nullify the covenant that existed between God and the Jewish people. How are we going to do that? Through Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Milah. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Milah. Question number 1. I understand Shabbos. Shabbos is a central focal point of Jewish life. We all know Shabbos is our anchor. It's our anchor of spirituality. It's our anchor of our familial connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of our communal connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is a perfectly legitimate target if you want to assimilate the Jewish people. Depriving the Jewish people of the observance of Shabbos is an almost inevitable recipe for assimilation. As we know, so many of the people that came over to this country that were unable to keep Shabbos because they just were not able to do so. So many of them were unable to hold on to the future generations of observant Jews. Mila, I also understand. Mila is the very first mitzvah that's given to the Jewish people, not as a nation, to Avraham Avinu. Mila is everything. Mila is what distinguishes us from the rest of the world. Mila is the moment, l'achniso, b'brisa shel Avraham Avinu. Mila is everything. You have the Mila, you have the cookies, you have the choo-choo train, and you become part of Am Yisrael. It's not even a question. What doesn't fit in this list? And what we must go after, you could just imagine, like this, the groups of Greeks sitting around eating chobani, saying to themselves, what has to be the primary target? What do we have to go after? We have to go after Rosh Chodesh. What are you worked up about Rosh Chodesh? What, Yalla V'Yavo is what keeps the Jewish people who they are? Rosh Chodesh, Hallel, that's your target? Shabbos, Mila, and Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, that's the salvation of the Jewish people? I don't know about your home. In our home, Rosh Chodesh is associated with one thing, and that is you don't have to wear a uniform in Rosh Chodesh, right? Rosh Chodesh, that's the big pillar of Jewish faith that is susceptible and is vulnerable to the assault of Hellenism and will undermine the Jewish people's distinguished character as a nation among the world. Rosh Chodesh, that's it. That's the big deal. So that's question number one. And question number two that we're going to address comes from the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah tells us in Bereishis, in source number 8, that Yavon, you know, each one of the galus that the Jewish people endured are associated with a different aspect of the world. The choshech zu malchus Yavon, and darkness is referred to as Yavon. Shechshicha einayin shal Yisrael b'zorasei, that they darkened the eyes of the Jewish people with their gzeros. Shehaisa omeres lahem, so what was their big thing? How did they go after Am Yisrael? They would say to them the following. Kismu, you should write Al Keren Ashor, right? Which was basically your message wall of that generation. On the horn of an ox, She'ein lachem chelek belokei Yisrael. That you have no portion in the God of the Jewish people. You should reject the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within your life, within your community. So I want to share with you a piece, source number 9, that comes from a sefer called Milchemes Yehuda. Milchemes Yehuda is from a Rav, Rav Mordechai Yehuda Levert. I received this sefer as a gift from my treasured, eminent, amazing friend, Rabbi Aaron Cohn from the Tiferes. And it is a sefer written by one of the Talmidim of the Chachmei Lublin. And it's amazing. I haven't put it down since he gave it to me. So he says the following. He asks these questions, says, I understand. Yesh lizbonein b'inyan neis Chanukah. Shehaya, source number 9, shemen liyom echad v'nasa neis, v'yilik v'men ha'shmoni yon. Maharemez b'neis shenasa v'ofen zema yesh lumo m'imen. So he says, let's try to understand what the Jewish people are supposed to learn from the character of the miracle of Chanukah. This notion that we light a candle for one day and extend it for 8. V'yesh lomar. So listen to this. D'mashma'us ha'neis hi, the message of the neis, lahoros is to teach, she Yisrael eina kefufim lizman hativi, that the Jewish people are not subjugated to natural time. Ela heim lemala min hazman, they're above time. V'sholtim alav, and we rule over time. And then he quotes the Svasemes that the Yevanim tried to decree against 3 things: Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, and Mila. And you know what those 3 things have in common? Mila, day 8. Shabbos, 7th day of the week. Rosh Chodesh, every 30 days. What's so special about Rosh Chodesh? Why is Rosh Chodesh on this list? Why did they go after Rosh Chodesh? Why not after Kosher? Why not after Pesach? Why not after Minyan? Why did they go after Rosh Chodesh? So says the Milchemes Yehuda, Mevor Shezeh, he's quoting the Sfasemes, Mevor Shezeh, Koy Amitzvos Kiddush HaChodesh, Shechara Lahem, Asher Yiyet Olu Kiddushas, Zemanim be Yisrael, Kemosha Amar Mikadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. Yisrael de Kachinu Lizmanim. I'll tell you why. Because what Rosh Chodesh reveals, we know how Rosh Chodesh used to happen. It didn't happen by someone clapping on the bima and announcing the molad and then telling everyone when Rosh Chodesh is and looking at the YBH calendar. It used to be that Rosh Chodesh was established by witnesses that would come to Beis Din. And the Jewish people determined the calendar reality of our lives. The Jewish people were the ones that sanctified time. Rosh Chodesh represents our partnership with the Ribono Shel Olam in bringing and revealing his presence in this world. It isn't Pesach. We don't encounter the manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world through the prism of Cheiros until Am Yisrael says, today's the day. We don't encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the prism of tshuva and closeness of Yom Kippur and Kapara until Am Yisrael says, today is the day. It is the Jewish people who carry the responsibility and the role of shaping the Ribono Shel Olam's revealed presence in this world through the Magil Hashanah, through the calendar of the Jewish year. And so therefore, what were the Yevanim after? What were they trying to expel from within the consciousness of the Jewish people? They were trying to separate Am Yisrael from their unique role in being a part of bringing God into this world. They were trying to reduce the Jewish people to simply being a passive nation that is deferential to whatever the reality in society is and whatever rhythms of natural life emerge from being in this world, on this planet. That's the world of Yavam. The fact that we have a role to play with the Ribono Shel Olam, the fact that it's not all top down, it's also bottom up. The fact that we make a contribution to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. We are active initiators in that reality. That is Rosh Chodesh, and that is what they were trying to undermine. Mila is identity, Shabbos is experience, Rosh Chodesh is our role, is our contribution, is our proactive initiative in terms of being part of the Ribono Shel Olam's revelation in this world. And he writes, that's what it means when they wanted us to say, Ein lanu chelek be'elokei Yisrael. He says, it doesn't make any sense. Karle elokei Yisrael, ve'eich ein lahem chelek, right? It says, what do you have to write? You have to write, I have no chelek with the Elokei Yisrael. Well, what do you mean? If it's the Elokei Yisrael, so obviously you have a chelek. Whoa. There are two ways to relate to Elokei Yisrael. It could be just God sits in heaven, and we just live our lives. We do what we do. And whatever goes on up there is all just influence down here. Ein lahem chelek be'Elokei Yisrael. They were trying to distort and disrupt this sense of mission that the Jewish people had, that they had something to accomplish in this world on God's behalf and to reveal the Ribono Shel Olam in this world. That's what makes us unique. Not that we're better than anybody, but that we carry this responsibility. This responsibility that when the world looks at us, they see godliness. That they don't just see godliness in books and Bibles and synagogues and structures and temples, that they see God in the world. How do they see God in the world? They see God in the world through us. We're a part of this. We bring the Ribono Shel Olam into the world. We have a chelek be'Elokei Yisrael. And that's as the Maral in Ner Mitzvah in source number 10. And so therefore it says in Milchemes Yehuda, that's why the miracle of Hanukkah had to do with time. That when the Jewish people played their role, when the Jewish people took their initiative, when the Jewish people said, you know what? We don't have to do this. We're in Ones. It's not in our control. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. It's shut down. It's locked down. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to talk about. You can't even get in. But we persevered and we searched. Badku, says the Gemara in Shabbos. And we searched and we searched and we searched until we found this one flask of oil. And with that one flask of oil, we brought the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam into the world. Not the Ribbono Shel Olam brought his own presence into the world. God's presence wasn't demanded into the world at that moment. We were exempt. We were exempt. Yet, our tenacity to say, no, but we have a role here. We're going to bring God into the world. And what's the Ribbono Shel Olam's reciprocating response? You bring me into the world just a little bit, and you will see that that partnership yields divine intervention and the glory of the providence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what you only invested as a day is extended to eight. And that is why the miracle of Hanukkah is expressed through the medium of time, the miracle of time, the extension of this oil, the elasticity of our contribution beyond its natural parameters, in order to be able to reveal the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in an elevated and amplified way. And that's what the miracle of Hanukkah, that's how it relates back to our battle with the Yevanim. The Yevanim wanted us to just be citizens of the world, just be like everybody else. By the way, they didn't want to kill us. They didn't want to destroy the Jewish people. They wanted us to just be like everybody else. Just get on board. Just be like, just leave everyone alone. And the fact that we walked into that mikdash and we said, that's not our destiny. We are not going to live just in the confines of that reality. And what was that reality? So the Maharal writes in Ner Mitzvah, if you look at source number 10, that Yavan was basically about rationalistic chachma. Yavan was about the worship of the human body, the human psyche, all of the rhythmic dimensions of physical life. The body, the mind, philosophy, logic, societal structures, politics, psychology, how the human being thinks and emotes. But at the end of the day, all of that, says the Maharal, is what we call chachma. And that's why, if someone tells you there's chachma in the outside world, tamin, you believe them. You don't look for the one guy that disagrees with all the chachamim of the world because he says what you want him to say. Believe him and then lead your life that way. No, there's chachma in the world. They don't know what they're talking about. So what do we contribute? What's the layer that we add? So we should all just be chachamim? We should all just be doctors and lawyers and philosophers? And so says the Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael in source number 11. No, because we infuse that chachma with Torah. What is Torah? Torah is not just knowledge. Torah is not just information. Torah is not just data. Torah is not just understanding cause and effect, consequences, and the antecedents of how things in the universe ultimately originate. But rather, Torah is living this world with all of its natural reality, but living it in as a vehicle to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a mahalach hachayim. It's a way in which we connect to the Kosh Baruch Shahari al haTorah nemar ki hi chachmaschem uvinaschem leinei kol ha'amin. This is our chachma. Aval lomer ki haTorah ashe yesh bo chachma. There's chachma in Torah for those who just learned Erevin. Ein hachachma shehi b'Torah hi chachma mechkrit. Aval hachachma shehi b'Torah shaTorah hi melamedes umora lecha derech hachayim. It's not just intellectual. It's a way of life. It facilitates our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The world of Yavan is the world of meeting creation. It's the world of looking at the natural universe and understanding it, relating to it, contending with it, dealing with it. That's the world of Yavan. It's a bria that exists independent of us. It's a natural world of knowledge and understanding and reality that is self-evident and can be studied and measured and understood and built upon, and all of that has truth. But it is a world devoid of one thing, and that is the mandate for Klal Yisrael to saturate that environment and that natural reality with the transcendent presence of the values of Torah and of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shkayach, this is how an asteroid is formed. This is how fire works. This is how chemical reactions happen. What are the implications of that natural world in our quest to ultimately build a society that lives for something greater than just the natural world? And that is what Yavan tried to sever. Yavan tried to sever that ambition, that desire for us to make a contribution to what life and what the world is really all about. And that is why Hanukkah is related so closely to Torah Sheba'al Peh. Aside from the many, many makoros that discuss the symbolism of the menorah as part of Torah Sheba'al Peh, but Hanukkah, we know, is not Nitein Le'ikase. There's no Megillah. There's nothing in Tanakh. There's nothing we read. There's no text for Hanukkah. It's an oral tradition. It's experiential. It represents our contribution. In fact, the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Hutner Zatzal, develops the notion that not only is Torah Sheba'al Peh, which of course is our contribution to the evolution of Torah, because Baruch Hu gives us Torah Shebichtav, and layered within Torah Shebichtav are all of the kernels, all of the sources of the ultimate evolution of Torah Sheba'al Peh, but unrevealed. Unrevealed until we make that happen. We have to study and plumb its depths and be mechadesh and bring that world out into our world. Bring the world of Torah Sheba'al Peh into the larger world. That's our contribution to Torah. And that's the Hanukkah. The Torah of Hanukkah is the Torah of Torah Sheba'al Peh, the contribution that we make, right? The notion of that, like the Gemara tells us, that lo bashamayim, the resolution of halachic conflict does not come from miraculous, you know, revealing crazy situations, or even from a heavenly voice. Lo bashamayim, it comes from us. We have to produce the analysis and the amelus and the hard work of the world of Torah. And says the Pachad Yitzchak, not only that, but even what Yavan represented in the history of the Jewish people, which was the beginning of shichas haTorah, forgetting Torah, the problems, the disruptions in the Masorah, what that required of the Jewish people, which was the resolve and the conviction to continue to work with it, to try to understand it, to resolve it, to concretize the Masorah, the tradition, and to perpetuate it. All of that is part of the entire world of bringing the world of Hanukkah alive. So it is all about our contribution. And that's in source number 12. Where the famous quote from Mark Twain, where he asks that all of the other nations that ever tried to assault the Jewish people, that tried to persecute the Jewish people, that tried to end the Jewish people, all of those nations are gone. And yet the Jewish people continue to thrive. And he asks at the very end of this very famous quote, what is the secret of his immortality? What is our secret? And the answer is that the secret is Hanukkah. Because Hanukkah is the final Chag before Golus. And Hanukkah is the Chag that recognizes that we have a contribution to make in revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And Hanukkah is about us not becoming passive and deferential to circumstance. That Golus is all about being in chaos and challenge and difficulty and oppression and darkness, and the fact that the capacity to bring light is ended to the Jewish people, that's Hanukkah. Hanukkah means we are not defined by the reality that is around us, but rather we have the mandate to bring a transformative impact to that world. We could do something. That's what Aaron HaKohen is told. Yavan is referred to as Choshech. Hashem creates the world. Nature is created. It's done. It's cooked. It's baked. It's going to go through a six-day process of ultimately individualizing all the different elements, but Shamayim and Aretz, the material's there. V'choshech al p'nei sehom. But there's darkness, right? V'yomer Elokim, yihi or. That ability to bring light, to bring clarity, to challenge, to walk into a Beis HaMikdash that is in chaos and transform that reality, to play a role in the evolution and the perpetuation of Torah itself, to play a role in how Hashem is revealed in the world through the Zmanim of our calendar, the fact that we are active participants in the destiny of this world and the destiny of the Jewish people, we are not passive, that's the world of Hanukkah. And that's what it means, Hadloka Osa Mitzvah. In the Beis HaMikdash itself, that's Hashem's house. And Hashem's house doesn't need us. Shem's house is saturated with light and clarity. When you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, there was no question. You didn't talk during the opening in the Beis HaMikdash because maybe, you know, you're not so into it. You didn't even need to sing Mimkomcha in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, you wouldn't sing Mimkomcha in the Beis HaMikdash because you had a Beis HaMikdash. But you didn't even need to sing songs in the Beis HaMikdash. You walk in and you are just enveloped with the presence of God. So in that environment, says the Rambam, all right, so we have a responsibility to make sure that that light radiates and illuminates outward. But our contribution to that light is eclipsed by its context. Its context is one of revealed presence of God. That's what the Beis HaMikdash is. The Chiddush of Chanukah, and the reason why Chanukah is not Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah is because that's not God's presence. In the Choshech of Golos. In the Choshech of Golos, you can't just facilitate it so that it happens. You have to make it happen. You have to be proactive. Take initiative. Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. We have to make it happen. And I think this is a particularly poignant message for Hanukkah this year. Because we have been living lives over the last number of months that are so, without any choice, so by nature deferential. We're not in control, and we're not in control of nature. We're not in control of when we can leave our house. We're not in control of when we can go to shul. We're not in control of who we can associate with. We are not in control. There is something outside in the nature of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has introduced, and it has almost entirely taken control of our lives. And the message of Hanukkah is that that is a darkness that needs to be acknowledged and validated and recognized, but not capitulated to. That we have to look deep within ourselves and figure out what type of optimism and hope and positivity and contribution we can make in this Choshech to bring illumination. If we are waiting for something or someone or a rabbi or a vaccine or a government or a something to show us how to leverage this reality, which, by the way, is one of the most fundamental disruptions of Teva that we've ever experienced in our lifetime. If we are waiting for someone else to do that, that's Hanukha Osem. That's, you think, you're not in a Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't happen on its own. It requires us to take control of our time, take control of our identity, take control of how we present ourselves, and take control of what we're going to take from this experience that is transformative. How will it become a vehicle for us to bring greater light and greater connection between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's the world of Hanukkah. You know, all of the Chagim are connected to nature, connected to Teva, all of them. Even Purim, which is not an agricultural holiday, is a celebration of God's role within nature. It's a nes nistar. It's a hidden miracle. Unless you read the Megillah and identify who the HaMelech is, you don't even necessarily see it. All the Chagim are about seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in nature. You know what Chanukah is about? Chanukah is about seeing us bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into nature. Chanukah is about the role that we play, the active initiative that we can take in our lives and in our environment. And that's why the candles of Hanukkah, Neros Alolu Kodesh, the Ein Lanu Rishus Lihishtamesh Behem, they're not for us to use in our natural lives because we want to read a book or we want to see dinner or we want to do something. Elo Lir Osan Bilvad, Kedei Lohodos Lahala L'Shimcha Hagadol. They represent what we are contributing to this environment, the elevation of the presence of Hashem in this world. And so as we light the Hanukkah candles this year, as we stand around our menorahs tomorrow night, Be'ezus Hashem, and we light that first candle, which the first night of Hanukkah is very special because that's the night where Badku and they took the initiative at its strongest and they moved forward. And they lit that first candle without necessarily knowing what would happen next. As we light that first candle, we have to take a step back and we have to say to ourselves, it's been a significant period of time for many, not for everyone, but for many, of Choshech. And it may not be Choshech in every aspect of life, maybe Choshech in family connections, maybe Choshech in self-esteem, and maybe Choshech in community connection, maybe Choshech in just dealing with some of the challenges and balancing all the different approaches of this. But there's a piece of Choshech for everyone. And it's more palpable and more real than we've seen before. It's not the same Hanukkah, where we drive home from work in our car and we fight the traffic and we park and we get out and it's not the same Hanukkah. We're not coming off of an office where, you know, we just did all our shtadlos and now, oh, let's celebrate the miracle. It lasted longer than it should have. It's not the same Hanukkah. It's a Hanukkah where we've seen what it means to be overpowered by nature, by Teva. We've seen where the world of Chachma has its limitations of what it could do for us, how it could guide us, and how it could ultimately inspire us. And we've seen that if we want to emerge from a challenge like this, if we want to emerge from a darkness like this, it requires Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. It requires our own initiative. It requires us taking a few minutes, sitting by the Hanukkah candles, and asking ourselves how our lives are going to be different moving forward. How we are going to make a greater contribution to the world, to our community. How we are going to connect ourselves to our study of Torah in a different way. How we are going to enhance our commitment to Chesed. How we are going to bring a sense of camaraderie and connection in our community. What we are going to do to make the world of Choshech Vayihi Or, and to not delegate that to anyone else. Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. Each and every one of us have an obligation to engage in that reality. And the Ezus Hashem, through doing so, we will illuminate the Choshech of this Golas entirely, and we will be able to all return the Ezus Hashem to the Beis HaMikdash and experience the lighting of Kodesh Baruch Hu's menorah. Be'ezus Hashem, b'mehera b'yameinu. Okay, everyone should have a freilichen, an amazing, tremendous, simchadik Hanukkah.